choose. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
So we'll start at verse 1 in Exodus chapter 17. And all of the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Zin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So here's the congregation of the children of Israel, and they set out on their journey. And as they're going through the wilderness, which is a desert, they're heading for a place called Rephidim, because they have heard that Rephidim is a place of refreshment. The word Rephidim means refreshment. It is a place where you can refresh yourselves, where there is plenty of water, where there will be food for you, where you, it's an oasis in the middle of the wilderness. And so their hopes and their heart are set on Rephidim. And they go to Rephidim, and they get there, but they, to their very much disillusionment, they find that there's no water there for the people to drink. So the world system, of course, as you know, the world that we live in, the system that is controlled by the prince and the power of the atmosphere, he also designates things in life as Rephidim. And he says, go there because that's Rephidim for you. That's the place of refreshment. That'll really bless you. That'll really make you happy. That'll really do something for your life. And you get there, And it's a dead end. It didn't do it. And this happens so often in life. There are so many things that the devil designates as Rephidim, the place of refreshment. He tells the single person marriage is Rephidim. And then after 20 or so years, he tells the married person being single again would be Rephidim. And having kids would be Rephidim. Then they say, no, having no kids would be Rephidim once they grow old enough to move on. And there's so many things that are designated as the place of refreshment, the thing that will finally make me happy, and yet it doesn't. It doesn't. If only I had a pile of money, I'd be happy. And then they get it, and they worry all the time about their money. They're stressed out, and they have a heart attack because they're watching the markets, and they're watching this and that, and their investments go down, and they're not happy. They got their money, but they're not happy. And so there are many, many things in life that people see as their Rephidim, but it's not. And that's the object lesson here that God has for his people. He wants them to realize that their hope is in him, not in those places on earth or those things on earth that they set their sights on, the goals that they set their sights on that they think is going to bring them in harmony with life, and they're going to have it's just going to be wonderful once they get to this place called Rephidim. And they get there and there's no water. And so that's the object lesson. Not to look at Rephidim but for its provision that fails, but to look to the Lord whose provision never fails. So we have, in this verse, we also have the subject of water and the necessity of water to the human body. Obviously, water is a great necessity to your human body. You're made up mostly of water. And there was no water, so that which I need is not available to me. And water is to the body, and taken into spiritual realm, because we always make the spiritual life analysis here. Water is also the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to my soul. What water is to the body is what the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is to my soul. That's why at the woman at the well in John chapter 4, when she was dialoguing with Jesus Christ, he told her that if you had asked me, I would have given you a water that you could have drank where you would never thirst again. And this he was talking, of course, about the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, that she would receive something that would satisfy her in life completely. And so often water is used as a metaphor for the Word and the Spirit, which are together. The Word is the sword in the Spirit's hand. And so together they become the water for the soul and to refresh the soul, to make the soul healthy. So here we have, in a spiritual sense, we have a group of people who are on the journey of life. They're going through the wilderness of Zin. It's a desert. They come to Rephidim, but they find no refreshment there. They are forced to look to the Lord, which they don't at first. Of course, they complain at first. Shocking, I know, that people would complain. But thank God none of us do that ever. But they came and they complained because there was no water. And God had a plan. And God wanted to teach them to look to Him for their provisions in life, beyond the natural provisions of life, to look to Him. Therefore, the people contended in verse 2 with Moses. They were not happy with Moses. Moses was their leader. He represented God's will to them. God spoke to Moses. Moses told the people what God wanted to do. So they contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink," like he had a canteen on him or something. So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" The discouraged people that wanted the water of Rephidim but found none reacted to the situation. Their first response was reaction. The first response was reaction, and out of the reaction comes complaining, murmuring, griping, or however you want to describe it. It is dissatisfaction with the plan of God. And Moses sees this as tempting the Lord. He said, "Your discouragement with God's plan right now, because you're not getting what you want this very second, is actually tempting the Lord." Now, we know the Lord is not tempted with evil. The Lord never is tempted with sin. We know that from James 1:13. He cannot be tempted with sin or with evil. But here in the Old Testament, Moses is speaking about the temptation of judgment. You're tempting God to judge you. And those who don't trust the Lord in here tempt the Lord. Now, we don't view judgment in the same light in the New Testament, because we know in John 5:24 that Jesus Christ has taken all judgment upon himself. And that you never have to contend again with judgment upon you, because Christ took it all. Excuse me. That's why there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Because there is no judgment ever will come and knock on your door ever again. Everything you deserve, you could list a bunch of things where you might think, "Boy, I deserve judgment on those things." But God will never judge you in the sense of punishment. Judgment in the sense of punishment, He'll never punish you for those things. Because Jesus Christ took your punishment completely upon Himself. Every sin, every wrong thought, every iniquity, every possible reason you might have for God to be displeased with you, Jesus took on Himself. He took the punishment for it. He went to the cross with it, and he did away with it. So God will never, ever, ever again judge you as a believer. We're told in the New Testament that judgment begins at the house of God in 1 Peter chapter 4, but that's not punishment. That kind of judgment means that God will reveal the hearts of those who are in the house of God to the genuineness of their faith things will happen, and it will be revealed just how genuine their faith is. Because a lot of people can talk it. You can talk that you're the most wonderful, amazing, most faithful Christian that ever walked the earth, and go around bragging about, I don't care what happens, I'll always trust Jesus. And then, you know, you get fired and you're falling apart emotionally because or something else happens and you fall apart. That's the kind of judgment we're talking about in 1 Peter. He'll reveal the hearts of his people. It'll begin at the house of God. And that's a good thing, because if you're being a phony, it's good to find out. Because then you can go to your knees and say, Lord, I don't want that. I want a real walk with you. I don't want to just play church. I want to walk with you. And so many of you guys do that anyways, but that's what the judgment is. So then in verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us? Is that your plan, Moses? Were you trying to kill us? Is that why you brought us out here in the wilderness? Telling us about a place called Rephidim, which proved to be worthless to us, no water there. And you brought us, not only us, but you brought our children and our livestock, which you're also going to kill with thirst. And so Moses did the correct thing. They were complaining, the people were complaining, but Moses, as their leader, did the correct thing. In verse 4, he cried out to the Lord. He went to prayer. There was no other solution. There was no natural solution. There was no place you could go to fix this problem. There was no one he could call. There was no cell phone service out there at the time. Nobody he could call, nobody he could borrow anything from. There was no loans available. There was nothing he could do to solve this problem. He cried out to the Lord. It's good to know that ahead of time. Remember the woman with the issue? She spent all that she had on physicians before she cried out to the Lord. She wasted a lot of time and a lot of money trying to find a solution which only God had. It's good to go to God first. And to learn that in life, to go to God first. And then he may use other people, he may use other resources to bless me, but to go to God first is the issue. So Moses cried out to the Lord and said, what do I do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me. They're so angry that they're ready to blame me and stone me. So the people complained, and Moses prayed, and God answered. Verse 5, the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people, and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take into your hand the rod with which you struck the river, and go. The rod that you used back in Egypt when you struck the river before Pharaoh, 10 plagues that finally caused Pharaoh to release the people.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993. Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Of raking your mulch back into your garden bed? Or have you replaced wood siding or a garage door because of rain damage? Gutter Guy Seamless Gutters, the rain drainage